You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! Hit him in the face. Sliwa is still on vacation. DeMarco is absolutely here. There has been some speculation, DeMarco, on whether Sliwa actually went on vacation anywhere, whether he's just holed up in his house just laying low.
Well, which one's more likely?
Yeah, well, that's the great
hanging
mystery.
Out, we don't know.
No okay. One really knows Sli's deal. You know, I'm still trying to figure it out. We've only been doing the show together for a few months. We're still trying to figure out the lay of the land in Alan Sliwa universe.
He doesn't strike me as the vacation type.
He travels. He does go around, so it's a possibility.
Okay.
But he did pop up for Kobe Day, wishing Kobe a happy birthday.
See?
And so it just it seems like, put it to you this way. I don't know if I'd send my kids a happy birthday notice if I was on vacation.
I see it.
I'm kind of on my own program at that point.
Then let's just say, what's up, Sli?
Yeah,
I know you're listening. What's up?
There you go. All right. I don't want the story right now, but I just want to make sure I have the broader strokes of the story laid out. You were in a parking lot recently where somebody asked you if you needed assistance. Is that
my local
that
grocery store?
Generally,
my
right?
My local pavilions where I always go. They know me. I'm there every other day, right?
Okay.
So there's two spots right in front, or four spots, 15-minute parking. So I usually try to hit one of those because I don't shop. I buy.
Right.
I have a plan before I go in.
You know what you want.
Yeah, I'm in and out, 15 minutes. No big problem, right? So the first spot was taken by a lady who cut me off. No big deal. And so I'll take the second one. Pull in. Put my mask on, get myself ready to go, and she's still in the car. So I get out, she gets out, we meet at the back of the cars. And I'm just trying to make the left to go into the store. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, did you need the closer one?
Now, hold on. Was this she's kind of being a pain in the you-know-what, like kind of rude,
no.
Like, hey, you know, I had that spot first. Like, hey, if you need the closer one, was
none
it
of
one
that.
Of those, or was it?
No malice.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Would you like the closer
it
one?
It was real concern. Like, she was doing a Good Samaritan thing.
You look like you needed to be closer.
Let me help the old guy across. I was like,
did she offer to carry your groceries to your truck?
You know what? I just kept it moving. It really hurt me. It did. But that's cool.
No biggie. I understand.
No biggie.
I like it. I absolutely
Am
love
I
it.
Am I that so. Old? Do I look that old?
I was going to you look good to me.
Thank
now,
you.
That's probably from me. I don't know what that means, but you look
Anybody,
good to me.
Any young people in the room? Do I look old?
You look fine to
Do
me.
I look like an old? Do look I look
great.
Like somebody you might try?
No.
Oh,
not
okay,
at all,
good.
Man.
All right.
You know what? I worry about that.
See?
Can I tell you that, like, for a long time, it never crossed my mind. I knew that it probably wasn't going to happen. I'm like yourself, I'm a bigger guy. That somebody's got to really have something I want. I don't have anything that anybody wants for them to try to mess with me.
You
right?
can't see arthritis right. from the outside.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. But now I'm like, I got gray hair. I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of a target right now. I don't like how this feels.
Am I a mark? Okay, just let me know.
I'm growing eyes in the back of my head. What do you want?
Okay.
Don't stand back there. I can't
it's
see
okay.
you back there.
I'm handling it. I'm going to handle this old thing. I like it, though.
good. I like it. All right. So a little bit of breaking news this morning, DeMarco. The Rams, we knew that this was, I don't really want to say a possibility, almost like a likelihood, right? That when Cam Akers got hurt in the preseason, that all of a sudden the Rams' depth chart at running back got very, very thin. You had Daryl Henderson, who goes into the number one spot. Like you've mentioned before, he's not the most durable guy in the world. He's a pretty explosive player, but has a hard time staying out on the field. You've got Jake Funk, seventh-round draft pick. You got Xavier Jones, an undrafted player, vying for that backup spot, and that did not seem like a great plan going into a season where you've got a relatively inexperienced, air quote, vet, and then two guys with no experience. The deal for Michelle today felt inevitable.
No doubt. And that's the first thing that happened. When I heard that Cam Akers got hurt, I was disappointed for him. Wow, this was going to be a big year for him. I thought he had a chance to take a step and become a star. Really did. Like, I was telling
he
people.
He looked like
that,
he was on his way in the
right.
last part of the season.
People that play fantasy, that talk to me about fantasy, and I usually give them the hand and walk away. But this time I said, look, look out for this guy. I never give fantasy advice, and definitely not from the Rams because I seem like a homer. But I said, look out for Cam Akers. from a football perspective, you could see that light come on. He really sets up his blocks well, and he's got speed. So I think there's going to be more out of him this year. So when he got hurt, I was disappointed for Cam. And then I thought, okay, well, at least you have Darrell. Here's a guy they drafted with the intention on being the backup, possibly someday being your starter in case you lose your guy. So this was your opportunity. And he seemed like he was ready for it. But the thing that always was in the back of my head, Trav, was, man, can you stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it always seems like, even in games last year, he would get rolling, he'd have something going, and he'd roll an ankle or hurt a foot or something that would just wing him, that would bring him back to more pedestrian. And,
yeah.
Oh, it just drives you nuts. So you hoped he would stay healthy. He got hurt in camp. Now you're forced to make a move. So I heard this name, Sony Michel, for a while now. I've always liked him. I watched him this year in the preseason. Looks like he can still run. He's got juice. So I think right now, even though he hasn't taken a rep with this football team, he's the best you have on the roster as far as running back.
Yeah, I wonder that if he doesn't just not only come in to give Darrell Henderson a backup or give Darrell Henderson, you know, the ability to get healthy when he gets nicked up a little bit, which seems like you said, it's going to happen occasionally. If he's not the guy, can he get up to speed from what do we got? We've got August 25th today. The opener is September 12th against the Bears, Sunday Night Football. So that gives him 2.5 weeks to kind of get up to speed of what the Rams are doing, learn the language, so to speak. But that seems pretty quick to go from one system to another to all of a sudden become the guy.
I don't think this is a Sammy Watkins situation. I mean, this is a guy. Sammy Watkins, I remember, fantastic athlete.
Speed.
I mean, talented, but he was the only receiver I ever saw that carried a playbook onto the practice field. And this was late. I mean, late in the year. He's still trying to figure this out. So, no, I think he's coming from a Josh McDaniels system, which is very intricate. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of football. Sean McVay-like. So I know he can handle a lot of information and process a lot of information that changes. So the terminology is going to have to change some, but – I would bet Sony Michel can pick up the offense faster than most.
I mean, I got a bad analogy.
It's not like you're coming from the Jets, you
right?
Know?
Yeah. This is the thing, that if I am an English speaker and you try to teach me Japanese, good luck.
Right.
Right. There's no crossover. I am starting from scratch. I'm gonna have to learn the alphabet all over again. I am starting at step -10,000.
How do you say bathroom?
Right. 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 But if I'm a Spanish speaker and you're trying to teach me Italian, I'm like halfway home.
Okay.
They're really, really similar.
There's connections.
So the Rams and the Patriots, is it English and Japanese or is it Spanish and Italian?
Spanish and Italian, and it depends on your teacher and translator. That's why I'm confident in Sean McVay. So he knows that system. He knows a lot of systems. He knows coaches that coach that system. So he could say, hey, Sony, this is that. So what you guys call this route, we call that route. Oh, thanks, coach. I get it. You know what I mean? So it'll be easier for him to assimilate to this offense than, you know, coming from a 3 yards in a cloud of dust type, where there's not much to it. There's a lot to that offense in New England. There's a lot to this offense here in L.A.
Look, you don't want to lose any of your guys, and you really don't want to lose a guy like Cam Akers, who's, like you said, he felt like he was on his way to becoming a really good player in this league. That being said, if you had to pick a position where you could kind of go out and just get a guy, much less a guy as a former first-round pick just a couple of years ago, it feels like running back is the spot, right? You know, we're going left. We're going left zone. We're going left. You know, the terminology and just the basic schemes seem to be relatively transferable, that you're doing some stuff you did in high school that you can do in college, that you can do in the NFL. It's not quarterback, it's not left tackle, it's not center, it's not middle linebacker, where you have to learn all of this stuff all over again.
I wouldn't want to do it, but if I think you're right to a certain respect. Running back is a little bit easier, except, you know, defenses can pick up on when you're only doing certain things with certain guys for whatever reason. So if he's in the game, you know they're not going to throw the football, or it's going to be anything exotic because he doesn't know blitz pickup. So that I guess that would be the only concern. But as far as running the football first and 10, you've run an inside zone your entire life. You've run an outside zone your entire life. Oh, this is a screen. You've done this forever. So the base stuff, you know, but as you get going in this offense, it's going to be a little more complicated than just running the football.
Travis and Sliwa is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Dodgers last night, DeMarco, they keep winning. You know, now we're, what is it? It's 10 of the last 11. They've won 14 of their last 16 games. They continue to win. And when you were here a week ago, I was telling you, even though they were 4.5 games back, I still felt like they're going to win the division. Fast forward a week, here we are. They're 2.5 games back, and I feel like they're going to win the division for all the reasons I told you last week.
Why are you smiling?
Because it's half. I like being right. You may show up next week. It could be 6, right? I'm going to take advantage of this.
There's progress.
Well, I got an opportunity. And by the way, if it is 6 next week, I'm going to lose your number. You're not allowed
on
the show.
No, no. Oh, you won't have to. I'll make sure you have it. Oh, yeah.
So but it feels to me, not only have they cut a couple of games, and it's not because the Giants backed up. It's because the Dodgers went and got him, which I think is a good sign. The other good sign is what we saw last night. Urias was really good. He comes off of the injured list and performs at a really high level. Clayton Kershaw pitched yesterday, kind of did some bullpen work and what. Wasn't a full simulated game. He didn't throw all his pitches. It wasn't a full mix, but all the reports are that it was pretty good. Mookie's due back in a couple of days.
Wow.
That all of the pieces that you've been waiting for are starting to come back. And then not only that, they've chipped off some of the games. This feels like this is starting to turn slowly because the Giants continue to play great, but it's starting to turn the Dodger
way. See, everything you just said, the Giants know. And they know what's coming. And they know that the Dodgers aren't – they haven't been the Dodgers just yet. Like you said, they haven't played up to their roster. When they do, they're going to be a snootful. So once you have a lead, keep the lead. That's why it's going to be tough to track them down. But 2.5 games – it's still possible, but I still think impossible, especially when everything is obvious and on the table for the Giants. The last thing you want to do, if you have aspirations on winning the World Series, the last thing you can have happen to you is have the Dodgers track you down. You'll lose all momentum. You might as well forget the postseason if that's what happens. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it'll be tough. But I agree, eventually, when everyone on this Dodger blue team starts to play like the name on the back of the jersey, I think they could be the best team in baseball.
Okay, that's the thing, right? Why did the Dodgers win last night? There are three people that won the game for the Dodgers last night. Urias for pitching really well, 5 innings, no runs, 1 hit. He did that. That's not a surprise. He's a high-level major league player. The other two guys, the reason they won that game last night were Will Smith, who hit a home run relatively early in the game to give him a little bit of a lead, 1-0.
Yeah.
And that dude is about as clutch as the guy as they have. He is, but he's also not in the top 10 when you start listing the most important Dodgers off the top of your head, right? And A.J. Pollock. A.J. Pollock had a 2-run single. A.J. Pollock robbed Manny Machado of a home run. Notice the names we're not saying. We didn't say Clayton Kershaw, didn't say Mookie Betts, didn't say Corey Seager, didn't say Max Scherzer, didn't say Trey Turner, didn't say Cody Bellinger, didn't say any of these guys that are all-stars, MVPs, right on down the line. The Dodgers have the second best record in baseball because guys like Will Smith and A.J. Pollock and Chris Taylor and Max Muncy have carried the water for them most of this season. And those aren't the guys that are supposed to do it.
It's culture.
It's unbelievable that they've been able to do it. So if you start getting – Cody Bellinger is another topic we'll get to later in the show. But if Mookie comes back, and let's say he's 80% of the best Mookie, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Corey Seager has played really well since he's been back, but he hasn't been back for very long. Trey Turner is arguably their best player right now. If those guys start to carry water the way that they're supposed to, in conjunction with the guys that have been doing what they're not only going to win it, they're going to win it by a game or two. They're going to win it going into the playoffs feeling really good about themselves. That this thing couldn't have gone any better with what they've been given up until this point.
It's culture. Say it with me. Dave Roberts, great manager. Say it with me.
Dave Roberts is a pretty
great
good
manager. Oh, you can't say it. That's culture. You just called out every reason why you would say the manager is great. Give the man his props. Come on.
No, no. I am a fan of Dave Roberts. Yes. The Dodger culture is fantastic. You know what? Dave Roberts is a great manager.
There you go. Right. He has some flaws, but, I mean, this is the stuff we're talking about.
Not a particular blind spot. But we'll
when the
two,
others start,
perhaps.
I mean, that's what's happening with San Francisco. The others are stepping up to make plays. And win games because it's culture. You understand it. That speaks to the manager.
Will Smith might be one of those guys that you never really worry about him. You know what I mean? Corey Seager gets hurt a lot, and you kind of worry about, is he going to come? Is he going to go? All these things. And, Max Muncy, you don't really worry about him, but you don't really think about him too much along the way. Cody Bellinger's a mess. Will Smith just shows up every night and gets big hits.
Yep.
You need a dude like that.
He's my PB&J guy. Mm. Always there, always satisfying. It's waiting for you. You can have the steak. Yeah. You can have the lobster.
Yeah.
But eventually, You're going to be coming back to the PB&J, and it's going to be there for you, and it's going to be glorious every time.
We're going to do that PB&J open-faced, right? Yeah. We don't need two pieces of bread on that PB&J.
It depends on how much bread I have. Because I can make do with anything. Yes.
But see, if you go open-faced, you get a little bit more of the peanut butter and the jelly experience as opposed to just a bread experience.
I'm clumsy, though, see?
Oh,
and I'm making this thing in the middle of the night. I'm trying to walk back to my room.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, the Lakers got a very surprising grade from SI. We'll get into that, and did they deserve it? But up next, DeMarco, I need your help. The Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC have some sort of deal that they've put together, and I have no idea what the hell it is. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I did a quick glance at Twitter, as I do during the breaks, and lots of people talking about the opening shot of Hard Knocks last night, DeMarco. Have you seen that?
Man, you
Holy blank. Unbelievable. So the handful of you maybe have not seen it. The opening shot of Hard Knocks is a drone shot from over the Cowboys facility, and it's 3.5 minutes long. It's one single, uninterrupted, unedited shot. That it's like a fighter pilot video.
Yeah.
This thing goes in and out of buildings, in and out of cars, in and out of rooms. It is the most extraordinary piece of footage I've seen, and I don't know how long it's
you'll be locked in. Like 3.5 minutes these days is long, but you'll enjoy every single minute of this thing, every single second. Like we said, is it going through the truck? It went through the truck. It went through the truck.
Yeah, the windows are open in the cab of the truck.
Yeah.
It goes in the driver's
side.
Not
through the weights. It went through the weights.
It goes into the weight room, weaving in and out of the racks.
Yeah.
It's just
and they time things up. It's great. You got to see this.
Who is the owner of the truck that approved this? I feel like I'd be a little bit worried.
The guy flying the drone.
And also, I saw Peter Schrager tweet this. It took 15 times to get this. They did 15 runs of this drone shot, and the one that we saw last night was the 15th shot. It just is an amazing feat.
15 shots. How many drones did they do?
14.
And I'm sure that drone also cost more than I do.
Yeah, that 14 of them. That's,
right.
That's how many drones
that's
they
used. That's basically
along
that
the way.
Video game Galaga.
Yeah, it was something else. You mentioned something when I was showing it to you. That you can't get ready for a season of Hard Knocks is in the building.
It's hard to build a football team. You know, football teams, you got to build them behind closed doors. You have to say things that only your team hears.
Right.
Hard Knocks makes stars out of people you're about to cut. And that just changes team dynamic. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's hard to be a good team when Hard Knocks
They did it with the Rams a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Actually, they've done it twice since they've been here,
yes.
Right? They did it the first year when they came back, and then they did it the opening season of SoFi with
feeling
the
like
Chargers.
The second time, they didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are rules as to
right.
who can do it and who can say no to it. You never had to deal with it as a player, did
no,
you?
No. There's no way we would have. There's no way Vermeil's letting that happen.
No, not a chance?
No way. Not a chance.
Jerry Jones seems to like it.
Yeah, well, of course. What publicity does Jerry Jones not like?
That's true.
Even the bad stuff he likes.
Jerry Jones seems to be the only guy I've ever watched on that show who didn't mind cutting people.
Right.
Hey, is the camera rolling? Yeah, okay, you got me on my good side? Yep, we're good. Okay, bring him in here. Hey, I've got bad news. You're cut. He kind of looks at the commercial at the camera like, you got that, right?
Wow.
Did you see the pain of the guy go, oh, at the moment
wow.
that I cut him? He seems to kind of enjoy that part of it.
I don't know how you could.
Kind of a weird deal.
Yeah, your dreams are over, son. Go home.
Don't forget, we've got Ask DeMarco coming up at 9:45 this morning, so you're going to want to send those in. Send them to me, at Travis Rogers. You can hashtag them, Ask DeMarco. We had a quick one here that I'll give you a little early, DeMarco. This is from GFish21. It said, did the Rams get mustard in return from the Patriots as well?
Wow.
GFish is preoccupied with the mustard situation at SoFi Stadium. He got shorted on his mustard. Remember the last time we were talking
That's
with him?
That's the same guy?
The same guy. He's still preoccupied with the mustard.
From week 1 preseason.
Yes.
You can let that go now. You know, I got a couple of bucks. I'll buy you mustard, yeah, man. You know what I mean?
A bottle of French's.
Come on, let's let that go.
Yeah.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, you know.
The Rams made a deal this morning, sending a fifth and sixth round conditional pick to the Patriots for the 2022 draft. And in return, they received former first round NFL draft pick Sony Michel and three tubes of Goulden's brown spicy mustard.
Wow.
I think those are the official details of the deal along the way. All right. I'm not the smartest guy in every room I've walked into, but I'm usually not the dumbest guy either.
Okay.
I'm somewhere in the middle. Okay, maybe somewhere above the middle line.
I hope you never find out for sure.
I don't want to, trust me. I have read the stories on what the Pac-12, ACC, and Big Ten have done several times from several different writers. Good writers.
Yeah.
It's not that it's poorly written. I have no idea what the hell they agreed to yesterday.
An alliance.
Of
conferences, of the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. We are together. We are banding together. We have an enemy in our midst, and we need to come together to beat the SEC.
Here's a quote. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
From one of the conference commissioners. There is an agreement among three gentlemen, and there is a commitment by 41 presidents and chancellors and 41 athletic directors to do what we say we're going to do.
That's a good one.
Anybody?
That's
anybody?
A great political statement.
Hi, DeMarco. I don't know how much money I have in my wallet right now.
To probably, do what we're saying we're going to do.
Do
I like
here?
That.
I got 36 bucks in my wallet right
okay.
now.
Okay.
I'll give you every last 36 of them if you can tell me even remotely what that means.
That means we don't know what we've done yet, but we're doing something.
This is perfect because it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. This is the exact opposite of that.
Okay,
this is
true.
The exact
very true.
Opposite of Straight Talk. Here's another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Very good. Today is this is from Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten. Today is a special day. What it signifies is there's still a lot of goodness in college athletics. Anybody?
Wow. Okay.
Anybody want?
You know what I'm hearing?
What the?
I'm hearing that I'm mad at the SEC for taking Texas and Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it was a shady way to do it.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing in all these statements.
The SEC is the Death Star in
all
this. And they're just trying to,
this is the
to be
rebellion.
The good guys. Exactly.
This is the rebellion right here.
Okay, but I understood what the Rebel Alliance was trying to do. The Rebel Alliance was searching for freedom in a galaxy from Darth Vader and Grand Moff Tarkin. Okay, I understand
that's
that.
Pretty much college football.
What do they get? I don't understand what putting, you know what, hey guys, the SEC is the biggest, baddest guy in the room. But here on the West Coast in the Pac-12, we've got a solution. What we're going to do is Oregon State is going to play Boston College. We're done here. We got it.
I don't think they're thinking that way.
We've got it.
Yeah.
But this is my point. If you don't give me any details, I don't know what the hell it is you're trying to get done.
You follow basketball, the NBA. This is basically a super team coming together. It's a super conference. They want to take the cream of the crop from – this is ultimately what I think is going to happen – from the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC, and put them in one conference to go against the SEC.
Okay.
Because they're tired of the SEC dominance.
That's a plan. If you said to me, hey, listen, the Pac-12, ACC, Big Ten, and Alliance is actually going to be USC, Washington, and Oregon are going to join forces with Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, and Penn State. We're going to get Clemson, Virginia Tech, Florida State, and Miami. We're going to put that together. That's our new league.
That sounds great.
That sounds like a plan.
Right.
This sounds like guys I don't know what.
No, wait a minute.
See, get together.
This is why head coaches can't really tell you anything in press conferences, because what did you not hear in that sentence?
Anything?
What about the Arizona schools?
Right.
What about the schools that are being left out?
Right.
What happens to us? In other words, we haven't talked to them yet. They don't know anything yet.
I want you to listen to Paul Feinbaum here, right? He covers college football for ESPN. Of course, he's an SEC guy, so he's got a little bit of he's got some skin in the game.
He's helping.
Here.
Yeah.
But listen to this, because I think this is a pretty good explanation of just how little we know of what this actually is.
I really haven't changed my opinion very much. I wanted to hear something today. I decided let's watch and maybe learn something and maybe see that this is a positive moment in college athletics. But to quote Shakespeare, it was a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. I mean, these are really outstanding individuals, all three of them. They've done a lot of great work, but they didn't offer anything concrete today. They didn't offer anything substantive. They said they don't have a signed contract, but they trust one another. Yeah, try that in today's business world. And it just seems like a reaction to the SEC's move of getting Oklahoma and Texas. A lot of people are blaming the SEC for swooping into those two schools and stealing them out of the Big 12. They didn't. As you know, those presidents called Greg Sankey of the SEC.
Look, I don't know what Feinbaum's talking about. I think if there's anybody you can take at their word, it's college athletic administrators.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
they're the most honest. Maybe the coaches might be a little more honest.
Okay.
Maybe the recruiters might be a little.
Good luck.
This is the biggest band of thieves and miscreants that you're going to find. They all lie to each other. And that's what we all understand, that they lie to each other.
Right.
Right? This is how it goes. You're a Pac-12 guy. You played at the University of Washington, one of the schools in the Pac-12 that I think has a little bit of juice outside of just its own region.
Thank God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you care if all of a sudden the Huskies decide, you know what, we're going to take SC and Oregon, we're going to go play somewhere else, that by Apple Cup, by Pac-12 rivalries, we're just going to go over here and play games that matter?
I would care. I would care a lot because of that rivalry with Washington State. That's huge. That goes back. I would miss because I was a Pac-10 guy before it was Pac-12. So, like Pete Carroll used to say, even when you knew he was playing for national championships every year, he would say the old Pac-10, Pac-12 trope. Our first goal is to win the Pac-10, Pac-12, and then go to the Rose Bowl, right? So I would miss that part of the Pac-10, Pac-12 tradition. But college football has changed. The SEC is dominant now. And Paul Feinbaum, to me, should be on the payroll for the SEC because he is their main recruiter, you know? So,
well, that and winning national championships.
And winning. But you can't deny SEC dominance. So something needs to be done for the other conferences to get back in the race.
What they need to do is SC needs to take the point. SC is the one school that has a real footprint outside of the West Coast. If you go to Ann Arbor, if you go to Columbus, if you go to Tuscaloosa, if you go to these Athens, Georgia, where they know SC football. They may not respect it the way that it would have been respected 15 or 20 years ago, with people, but they know it. SC is a brand that people know. And if SC said, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being on the outside looking in. We're going to go. The rest of the Pac-12 would have to get on board.
See, I think the SEC has that college football omerta. They know what's going on. They know what everybody's doing, and they look the other way. The Pac-12, the Big Ten, those two conferences, they don't. They're in everybody's business. So I think you should let SC be SC and go get those kids. I think you should let Washington be Washington and go get those kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you can compete. But right now, they're all going to the SEC.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, it is Ask Slee, but a little twist. It's an Ask DeMarco day. But coming up next, the Lakers got a grade in Sports Illustrated that I saw quite a bit in my academic career, and you don't want those on your report card. We'll get it next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You afraid of the impending robot takeover like Slee was just worried about right there?
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Skynet's coming.
Is it going to be like the robots that can do backflips? Is it going to be Terminators, or is it just going to be they're going to slowly turn us all into zombies?
Why are we even messing with this? Why are you trying to do this? Why are you bringing robots into this world?
That's the part that I don't get.
Yes.
Right, why are we building that?
Thank
you. What do we need
why?
That for?
What possibly could come out of this that's good? You know,
it's a machine that can run faster than I can. It's smarter than me. And
then why do you need me?
Trees. what am I doing here exactly?
If I ever saw one of those robot dogs, I'm leaving. I am. I'm getting in a rocket ship and I'm gone.
Once the robots figure out how to make other robots, it's a wrap.
History.
It's a
We're
wrap.
Gone.
That's the only advantage we got on them right now. All right. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. So kind of a common trope, DeMarco, is you give people off-season grades, right? This team did well. This team didn't. They get a C. You get an F. You get an A+.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated did the Western Conference in the NBA. Clippers get an A-. The Warriors get an A-. So, okay, this kind of give you an idea of what they think of some of these other teams. The Lakers got a C-. And the guy that wrote this piece, Michael Pena of Sports Illustrated, gives them a C- for basically all the reasons that I have suggested that maybe the Russell Westbrook deal wasn't the greatest deal in the history of the NBA. And then he adds in all the fact that all these guys that got are not very good defensively.
Wow. Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, you have to do this every day and talk to Laker fans, so it's a little bit different. But I don't think anybody should be surprised by this because we don't know. You don't know how this is going to work. I'm not sure if I would have graded it a C-, mm-hmm. but, I mean, you can't grade it an A.
You can grade it an A if all you're looking at is the headline, right? The Lakers get Russell Westbrook is a really cool headline.
LeBron, Westbrook, Melo.
Looks great.
Dwight Howard.
Anthony Davis.
Right. Yes, I mean, that's great.
These are names you go, yeah, those are all Hall of Famers.
That is great sizzle.
Every guy that you just named is a Hall of Famer. LeBron James is still playing at a Hall of Fame level. Anthony Davis is still playing at a Hall of Fame level. Russell Westbrook is an interesting addition because of the way that he plays. Nobody really other than AD on that list plays a ton of defense. Dwight plays decent defense around the basket. But this is, once you kind of the sizzle of it all wears off and you start looking at how all these pieces fit together, I think that this,
the once closer you get to the stake
get,
of it.
Once we yeah. get closer to the start of the season, you see how these pieces fit together. It's going to be really interesting what they do defensively.
Well, see, that's why I'm kind of – I maintain my on the fence, and I'm glad you haven't asked me for a grade because I'm still –
What's the grade?
Well, I'm still trusting in LeBron. That LeBron, this is the one thing that changes. I think LeBron can make all this work. I don't think he would have allowed this to happen if he didn't think he had – if he didn't have a plan and didn't think he could make this work. So, you know, some people are going to really wind up looking stupid come Christmas time. If this is working or not working.
So that's one of the things that Slee and I have talked about. And I don't know if it is Christmas. I think we're talking more Valentine's Day.
Okay.
I think that that's a better timeline of whether or not all these pieces fit together. Because, look.
For an NBA, yes. But I'm talking about for the general public, around Christmas, they're expecting a machine.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right, okay.
That's not going to happen. Just simply pieces take time to fit together to figure out the
True.
Role of this. And if... Let me be optimistic for a second. Let me take a position that is not what I think, but
don't
what I've heard
optimistic.
A million times. No,
please
what
don't
I'm
be
saying
optimistic.
Is,
yeah.
Oh, Russell Westbrook wants to win a championship for the first time in his career. He's going to be willing to do whatever it takes to win that championship. Okay, I believe that much of this is true. You're a professional athlete. You've been around some of the greatest players of their generation.
He wants to win.
He wants to win. But
right.
how often, DeMarco, I'm not talking about... I don't even know how to say this without being a little I'm not talking rank and file guys. I'm talking stars. Okay? Star players. How often do they change their game late in their lives because, hey, I need to do something. It's real the
and
reason,
have it pay off?
Yes.
I don't know, but I did see this goes all the way back. I did see Marcus Allen turn himself into a fullback for Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, hey, look, I just got to get in and to fit in. And this is what's best for us. So I have seen it before. It can happen. I'm just not sure which guy is going
to
do it yet.
It has to be Russell Westbrook. It has to be. Because he's
See, I'm thinking more him, more LeBron.
But why would you ask the best player on your team to do something
because
different?
Because I think he's capable of it. I don't think Westbrook is capable of changing.
Okay, so.
And I don't want that Westbrook to change.
We're exactly on the same page.
Yeah.
With one small change or one small, you know,
deviation. Caveat, yeah.
And it's this. LeBron James is their best player, and I believe that to your point, he's the player that's best suited to alter what it is that he does, okay? But why do I want to take, if we're doing grades, why do I want to take my A+ and turn him into an A or an A-, asking him to do something other than what he's best at, and then take my guy that's a B or a B+ in Russell Westbrook so he's more comfortable?
Well, if it fits, if it works, if you win, you know... 70 games, then it works. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, remember, this is a football thing, but just follow me for a second. Remember when Fast Willie Parker and Jerome Bettis shared the backfield in Pittsburgh?
I do.
Fast Willie Parker took you from 20 to 20. Jerome got you in the end zone, and they won the Super Bowl with it. So kind of the same with LeBron. I bet he would welcome a guy that could take over the scoring early. And then when it's closing time, it's LeBron time.
If, again, we're in lockstep until that last part. I just don't think that Russell Westbrook has that gear where Russell Westbrook's whole life is, give me the ball, let me do my thing, we'll see what happens. That at the end of the game, somebody, okay, cool, I got us to the 20,
right.
Now you get us into the end zone. He's going to continue to jack up those mid-range shots, attack the basket, all of these things. I just don't think that that light goes on for him at this point.
Did Iverson have the same problem back in the day?
Iverson didn't have teammates like this.
Did he? Like, did he not want to have guys that wanted to play with him? Because there's no point in playing with Iverson.
Yeah, you get a good seat. You get the seat up close.
You get the best seat in the house to watch him score. Okay.
877-710-ESPN if you want to get in on that and what you think about that C-minus grade and whether or not these pieces fit together. 877-710-3776. Coming up in 15 minutes, are we worried at all about Clayton Kershaw going straight from the IL into a playoff race after so much time off? But coming up next, my favorite segment of the week, it's Ask DeMarco. That's straight ahead on 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, DeMarco. So this is a kind of a Slee question, but I'm going to turn this into an Ask Slee and Ask DeMarco for you. This is from Dart.
Is the NL in this room, right? So I get to ask you questions.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
This ain't the AL. You know, you have to come up to the plate. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't get to just throw pitches in your head. I got to grab a bat.
Absolutely.
Right,
yes.
No, I understand that. I respect that. It says Slee has been off for a long time. It's probably time for him to get back to helping the world turn around, SMH. So my question to you, DeMarco, is what's the proper amount of time for a vacation?
Oh, wow. Okay, I can only speak for myself. I need 2 weeks. I think 2 weeks is good. I need a week to decompress and to get out of work mode. Like, actually learn how to put the phone down, not check it, not flip open the laptop to see what's going on, disconnect from the world, and then I need another week to enjoy where I'm at.
That's a good answer, yeah. And I've had the two-week vacation before, but here's the problem. I like the decompression part of it all.
Yeah.
But after about day number 5 on vacation, I'm like, yeah, it's time to go back.
Really?
Yeah. I can't unplug for that long.
You need a month.
You need more. I'm already thinking, it's been too long. I need to get back in there.
Oh, okay.
I can't do it.
See, the worst me is me coming back from vacation.
You're still on.
The first 2 days I'm in mourning. I'm mad. You know? I got to get back into this nonsense.
When do I get my pina colada?
See,
it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you. I just can't call down for a lava flow. You know? Come on.
Those are pretty good, by the way. John writes, with news that a singular hot dog can take 35 minutes, or it's 35 seconds, John, I'm going to clean that up for you, off of your life, will this scare tactic stop you from eating them on a regular basis?
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. I will not be scared away. From a delicious hot dog. But if that's true, then I won't make it till tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like, unless you were scheduled to live like 98 years, right. Maybe we're getting near the end of the line.
30. How did they come up with this?
I think it's all BS.
Thank you.
I think, generally speaking, eating processed fatty meats is probably a bad idea.
Okay, but
I don't know how you get to the 35-second rule.
It's not going to stop.
Let me flip this on its head. I also saw a study that says for every PB&J you eat, you gain 30 seconds. So as long as you're eating just a few more PB&Js than you are eating hot dogs, you're right on schedule.
A
draw.
Okay, I will eat hot dogs. I sometimes drive without my seatbelt on. You know, I ride a bike without a helmet. Okay? Not going to scare me.
All right. This one is from Disc. And Disc writes, do you have an earthquake preparedness kit?
I do. I actually do.
What's in it?
I've got stuff I don't need because we're on like a one floor. We don't have an upstairs.
Okay.
It's a one level. But I have the chain ladder This is from my house when I had two stories.
Yeah. In case you want to do like the ladder drill in your garage when the apocalypse is happening.
I've got a flashlight with extra batteries that I have to keep replacing because my wife goes in and takes those batteries.
Get to the part that we're all waiting for.
What's that?
How much food is in that bag?
I got some stuff in there. I got some canned food.
All right.
Some powdered milk. Yeah. I'm prepared. Yeah. Some water. You know?
He wants to know how many pounds of dehydrated, unseasoned chicken are in there. That's more of
None.
A Sliwa thing.
Yeah.
Like, DeMarco, you know how to eat.
Yeah, I can hunt too, I guess, you know.
not the meat aisle at Pavilions where you like to go.
No, I mean, I can go catch
some
stuff.
You can catch a fish and do that whole
thing. And I can break into houses.
All right, that works. here's one from Francis. This is my favorite one of the day, I think. This is your former head coach. Does Dick Vermeil look like an 80s sitcom dad? Hashtag ask DeMarco.
Whoa, I never thought of that. He does. He does. The stereotypical eight. Yes, he is, too. He is that guy. Unapologetically that guy. He is.
I love it.
We need more people like him.
No.
Did I tell you this? Like, it would be like if I had a bad day at practice, it would be nothing for him or for me to get home and see that he's already there. In the living room.
Really?
Hanging out with his feet up. Yeah, you just had this
to
funny,
check in with you.
Had this funny look on your face. You didn't say hello this morning. I just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Dude, he is in a 90s sitcom.
He's that guy. He still does it.
Now, DeMarco, I noticed that you didn't say good morning to me, and this means that there's something. Did something happen at school today, DeMarco?
Kind of like that.
Was the teacher a little off this morning, DeMarco?
Now, that's private.
Did you get a bad grade on the test, DeMarco?
Now, that's private, and then when he's around the team, he'll rip you like nobody's business.
All right, so kind of in that same vein, here's another one from the same guy. This is kind of his lane. It's a pretty good lane for him. Who looks more like a cop on vacation, Trav or Mike Martz?
Wow. Okay, Mike does look like a narc. Mike does look like a narc.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd be good at, like, entrapment. You know, Trav, I mean, look.
That, by the way, hold on, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. That's the most creative, subtle, hardcore way I've ever heard somebody call another person stupid. That was just brilliant what you just did right there. And I don't want it to go by the way because I got it and that was extraordinary. Okay. He wouldn't be very good at, I don't know, entrapment.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
To be honest, if I didn't know you and I was with my circle of buddies and somebody was holding and you walked in, I would get nervous. I would get really scared.
Yeah. I don't like that. Emily called me yesterday. Yeah. She said I look like a high school principal whose students met the reading challenge.
What?
I'm like, wait, what? So now I have cop.
You got some Mr. Belding in you.
I heard that before. I don't like that
at all. You got a little
Belding
in you.
I've got a little Mr.
You know,
Belding.
You're good.
I've heard football coach, and now I'm the guy that if you're holding, you need to be worried about.
If you wore a three-piece suit and walked into a room, I guarantee you everybody would get quiet.
Oh, that's too good. One more here. This is from Drew in West L.A., and Drew writes, does DeMarco say, well, first – I need to start
well,
over.
What?
I blew it.
Wait, where's this going? Okay.
Does DeMarco say, well, first I'm a dad when people ask what he does for a living?
Does DeMarco say first?
So when people say, hey, you know, somebody that doesn't know you, they don't know that you're a former football player, and say, so what do you do for a living? Would your answer start with, well, first I'm a dad?
Yes, it probably would. Yes. Yeah, it probably would. Is that bad?
It's high level dadding is what it is.
It's super high level dadding.
I really love how every time we have a pre-show meeting, you take a call from one of your children, but it's the cutest way that you answer. You're like, I'll call you back in a minute.
First day of first grade today, right?
Yes, first day. I'm there. I'm the old guy.
First, I'm
you know,
a dad.
Like coach speak. It's dad speak.
Exactly. Thank you, Funch.
It happened overnight.
It did happen overnight. All right, one last one here from Dave. Dave writes, have you ever been accused of being a wedding crasher at a wedding you were actually invited to?
No, I can't say that's ever happened. I've been thrown out of some weddings.
Have you ever crashed a wedding?
No, I've never crashed a wedding. Have you crashed a wedding?
I have.
You've crashed a wedding?
I have. Well, does this count? You guys tell me if this counts
on purpose?
Or not. Yeah.
Or by accident?
No, on purpose.
Okay.
That I was at, you know, you go to a hotel and they have the big banquet rooms where sometimes they'll do weddings at those things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there was a wedding that I was invited to in Banquet Hall A. there was another wedding going on in Banquet Hall C that was completely separate.
Okay.
And they had a better bar. So I went in and helped myself to Wedding C's bar.
That's so wrong.
And then went back to Wedding A.
And you knew no one there, right?
Not a single soul. I didn't know anybody.
Got in and out. No one
said a word.
No one said a word.
No, there's a big wedding. There's a couple hundred people. Nobody knows. All I know, I'm Uncle Tony from Philly.
So
no
you
one's
blended
ever met.
In both weddings.
Yeah, went in to chit-chat with the people waiting in line for a drink, and I'll take a Jack on the Rocks and move it on back to the other party.
No.
Did they have better drinks?
I would never try.
Well, trust me.
I'm
just saying. All right. You might be surprised at how much you like it. Ask Lee is brought to you by Kia of Carson. This summer, find your next car or SUV at Kia of Carson. Hurry in to Kia of Carson for the best selection. It's off the 405 at the Carson exit. Go to KiaofCarson.com. Coming up in 15 minutes, it is Fact or Cap. But up next, should we be worried about Clayton Kershaw being off for so long right before the playoffs and Dave's loyalty on one player in particular? Is that going to handicap the Dodgers? That's all coming up next on Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.